Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight. You know the need of the service, and Lord, I pray, God, that you would help me to help your people tonight. Now, I'll be careful to give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, I love this verse, and I'm not going to take time. I started to take time to actually break this verse down word by word and go through it word by word as a Bible study tonight. I'm not going to do that at the end of service tonight. I think you can. You'll have enough tools that you'll be able to do that yourself. But here's one thing I do want to say about this verse tonight. This verse is not a question. He's not asking us to study the Bible. He's commanding us to study the Bible. And can I just go on record and say this? If you're not, then you're sinning. Well, it got real quiet right there. If you're not, then you're sinning. Because he said do it. He said study to show thyself approved unto God. And I think the reason some people doesn't study is they simply just don't know how. They read some verses each day, but they simply don't know how really just to break the Bible down and study the Bible. So I want to show you some things tonight and give you some ideas. We'll read through the notes and then we'll look at a practical side also. Many Christians sincerely want to know their Bible better, but they are not always sure how to study it. They may read a chapter, close the Bible, and a few minutes later struggle to remember what they read. Bible study does not have to be complicated. You do not have to be a preacher on a library of commentaries or understand Greek and Hebrew to begin studying the Word of God. And I just say that again, you don't have to have a library full of books. You don't have to know Hebrew and Greek to study the Bible. God gave us an English-speaking Bible so we can understand that. And can I just say this? I believe that it in its entirety is the preserved, the King James Bible is the preserved Word of God. Amen. He said that he would do that. He said he would preserve it from this generation forever. If it's not, I don't know of anything that he is. Amen. But let me just go on. I don't want to get bound out on that. With a Bible, a willing heart, prayer, a few simple habits, any believer can begin learning how to study the Scripture for themselves. The goal is not simply to finish a certain number of chapters. The goal is to understand what God has said, believe it, and allow His Word to change the way we live. Some people, now, and hear me out, okay? Hear me out before you judge me what I'm fixing to say. Some people get caught up on reading through the Bible every year. There's nothing wrong with that, okay? I am not faulting that. There is nothing in the world wrong with that. I think you should read the Bible. That's a great goal to have. But can I say something to you tonight? You need to get in a habit of understanding what you're reading. Not just reading it, but understanding it. Now, you're never going to go wrong reading it. Amen. You're never going to go wrong reading it. But man, I don't know about you. I want to know. I want to understand what I'm reading and why it is there. I remember whenever Leslie and I got married in 1999, and not long after we got married, in December of 2000, we went to Rock of Ages Prison Ministries. I remember one of the first things that they told us in our training week. Here's what they said: you better study the Bible. And I said, well, I do. And they said, no, you better study the Bible because you're going to get hit with some tough questions whenever you go to prison. Can I just say something? Man, that was the understatement of training week, some tough questions. I learned this: you need to know the book of Genesis real good. Real good. You say, why? Because a lot of people have said in their mind to read their Bible and they read the book of Genesis. And then they said in their mind they're going to read their Bible and they read the book of Genesis. And then they said in their mind they're going to read their Bible and they read the book of Genesis. And learn Genesis and learn Revelation if you're going to prison. And I'm just being honest, man. I've had harder questions asked to me in a prison than I ever have in a church. And I want to say something to you tonight. We need to learn to study our Bible, not just read it, but study it and understand it. Now, here, let me give you some practical tee-ups on studying the Bible. Number one, have a regular time and place. Have a regular time and place. I prefer, and 99.99% of the time, this is when I read my Bible. It's not 100%, but 99.9% of the time, I read my Bible first thing in the morning. First, before I do anything else, I get up. I don't even always say good morning to my wife because 99% of the time, she's already sitting at the table reading her Bible. So I walk by her, I get my Bible. I'll usually get, to start the morning out, I'll usually get a gluten-free almond flour banana nut bar and a cup of coffee, and I go to the front porch, and me and honey read the Bible together in the morning. You say, who's honey? That's my golden retriever. We read the Bible. Poe, pray for her. She needs some Bible. She's cantankerous and don't come to Bible study. But anyway, me and honey read the Bible together. Have a regular time and place. You've got to make it a habit. Do you hear what I just said? You've got to make it a habit. If you don't make it a habit, you're not going to read your Bible. That's just all there is to it. You're not going to do it. Make it a habit. Have a regular time and place. Bible study becomes more consistent when it becomes part of your routine. It does not have to be early in the morning, but having a normal time and place removes questions. When am I going to do it? Do not just find time for your Bible. Make time for your Bible. Because I'll just say this to you. If you're just going to find time for it, the devil's going to take that time away from you, okay? The devil will take that time away from you, all right? Number two, start with prayer. If you're going to read your Bible, start by praying. You said, preacher, what do you mean? I mean, start by praying. Now, I like this. This is in Psalms 119:18. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. You know what you ought to do every morning before you read your Bible? Whenever it is you read your Bible, you ought to pray Psalms 119:18. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Pray and ask God to show you something from His Word. The reason many people don't get anything from the Bible is because they never ask the author to help them with it. You know, it's not, I got a good friend, his name's Jonathan Ritchie. He's preached for us, he'll kick our revival off. And he's just finished his first book, and I'm reading through it right now. He asked me to read through it before they publish it and give him my thoughts on it. And we actually talked about it even a little bit today again. I was saying about this, I read a lot of books. Brian, you read a lot of books, but it's very limited books that we read that we can actually talk to the author. We can actually talk. Can I just say something to you? When I pick up my Bible and read it, guess what I can do? I can talk to the author. I can say, hey, sir, I don't understand this. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who give it to all men freely. God, would you help me? Author, would you help me understand your word? So whenever you read your Bible, pray. Number three, read with a pen in your hand. Read with a pen. Some people mark in their Bible, some people don't. I prefer to mark in my Bible. I mark a lot in my Bible. Matter of fact, when I could actually see halfway decent, and I still can for the most part, especially when it's 20-point font. But anyway, I preached out of a wide margin Bible for years. That's what I preached out of. I wrote all of my outlines in my Bible. That's where I wrote them at. Matter of fact, Madeline, now that she's married, has one of them I gave her that's got numerous ones in it. Mark in your Bible. And I'm not going to read through everything in here, but if there's something that you don't really understand, put a question mark beside of it. If for something that's real good, put an exclamation mark beside of it. You've heard me say this before. If it's something that's continuing and I'm studying it, I'll underline it or highlight it in green. And whenever I see that, I know there's more to that in that book. I know that there's something else after that. And then when I get to the last time it's mentioned, I write the first time it's mentioned. That way, if I just open my Bible and I read that and I go, huh, well, if there's something written beside it, Brother Joshua, I know if I'll go back to chapter 1, verse 13, something to do with what that just said is in chapter 1, verse 13. And you say, why do you do that? Because the older you get, the less you remember. The older you get, the less you remember. And when you read your Bible, listen to what I'm fixing to say. The devil is going to mess with your memory. He's going to mess with your memory. Ask questions of the text. Number four, learn to ask questions while you read. What does it say? What does it mean? What does it teach me about God? Is there a command to obey? Is there a promise to believe? Is there a sin to avoid? Is there an example to follow or avoid? How should things change me? Bible study is not finished when I understand the verse. It is finished when the verse begins to change me. That's a good statement. It's finished when the verse begins to change me. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves, is what James said. Read the verses before it and after it. Never build a belief from a verse you have not read in its context. There's nothing wrong with topical preaching. Let me give you an example. Sunday night, I preached topical. I took the shoe and preached topical on the shoe, but I preached it in the context of the Scripture. You say, what do you mean by that? Everything that I said about that shoe was found in the book of Ruth. I preached it in the context. Topical preaching is a very easy way to get out of context of the Scripture. Man, stay in the context. In other words, what's it saying before it and what's it saying after it? The message that I preached Sunday morning, I was sitting at home, I was reading through that, and I read that, and when they saw him, and I thought, man, that really stands out to me. When they saw him. And then I thought, well, what's going on? What's going on? I was reading the Great Commission again. I wasn't reading all of chapter 28. I was just reading the Great Commission. So you know what I did? I went back to the beginning of chapter 28. And I thought, man, here we are at the resurrection. And I thought, well, what went on before that? And I went back to chapter 27. I went back to chapter 26. And Sunday morning, you seen me lay all the groundwork going into chapter 28. Why? Because I went back to chapter 26 and read it. So you here's what I'm saying. You got to read it in context. You got to, can I put it this way? You got to see the big picture. You got to read the big picture. Now, number six. I went to BCA. Number six. Look for repeated words and ideas. Look for repeated words and ideas. Man, Psalms 119. Thy word, thy statutes, thy law. The different times the Bible is mentioned in Psalms 119. It's amazing. Number seven, compare Scripture with Scripture. Compare Scripture. I'm going to show you a few books here in just a second, just simple help books. But let me tell you what the greatest commentary on the Bible is. The Bible. Amen. There is no greater commentary. There's no greater book written on the Bible than the Bible itself. Comparing Scripture with Scripture, I love it. It's one of my favorite things to do. Now, I'm going to show you in just a minute in one of these study Bibles, and probably 99% of everybody sitting here tonight has them in their Bible. It's called cross references. And those cross references, that's what they do. They compare Scripture to Scripture. Listen to what I'm fixing to say to you. The Bible never contradicts itself. It will only complement itself. It never contradicts itself. Compare Scripture with Scripture. One of the best tools for understanding the Bible is the Bible itself. If you are studying a subject such as grace, prayer, forgiveness, salvation, or faith, find other passages that deal with the same subject. Learn to use the cross references in your Bible. Many Bibles already provide references that point you to other passages dealing with the same word, subject, or evidence. Now, number eight, do not immediately run to Google or a commentary. Amen. You say, why did you put that in there? Because it needs to be in there. We have so become adjusted to a right now society. Everything, Brother Lloyd, is just at the snap of our finger. It's right now. Honestly, you can get online tonight and order something nowhere close to you, and tomorrow it be dropped off at your house. And we have become so adjusted. I got a picture. I wish I'd have brought it. Matter of fact, I think I mentioned it the other night. I got a picture of my grandpa. My grandpa Olin Barker was a preacher. And me and Daddy was talking just the other day about preachers today, and 98% of preachers that you talk to is complaining about everything. And my grandpa Barker pastored two churches at the same time and worked a full-time job at Chatham's on nighttime and trimmed trees during the day and pastored two churches and raised seven kids. And you say, well, how'd he do it? He was a man. That's the way he done it. And he wasn't a sissy. He was a man. But anyway, I'm just going to keep moving on that right there. He was a man. And I got a picture of my grandpa, and he's got a pair of black wingtip shoes on, a pair of black pants, Brother Williams, and a white short sleeve shirt. And my mama always told me, don't you ever wear a tie with a short sleeve shirt. And that's just what my mom embedded in my mind. And he's got a short sleeve white shirt on, black wire rim glasses on. And he's sitting there with a black back Scofield Bible. And he's got a couple Oliver B. Green commentaries beside of him and a Strong's Concordance. And an old typewriter, an old ribbon typewriter. Not an electric typewriter, an old school one with tick, tick, tick. Y'all know what I'm talking about? No. 99% of y'all don't have a clue what I'm talking about. Some of y'all up, Brother Williams, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? And I told Dad, I said, man, don't you wish we could go back to life just that simple? Let me tell you the reason those men of God had such a power of God on them. We've got the most educated preachers that's ever been, but we got the most powerless preachers that's ever been too. Just because somebody can't exhort on the Bible and can give an educated book report of the Bible does not mean that they have unction. As a matter of fact, one writer said this, with all thy getting, get unction. That's what M.R. Dehon said. With all thy getting, get unction. But I thought about that, man. You know what Pa done? He read the Word of God and he said, God, I need you to help me understand this. And he applied it to his life and preached in the power and unction of the Holy Spirit of God. I think about Brother Aaron's grandpa. I guarantee you it's the same way if we could go back and talk to him. You say, preacher, what are you saying? Don't immediately run to the internet when you want to learn something. Man, get in your Bible. Get in your Bible. Open the Word of God. Pray, God, help me understand this. God, give me knowledge of this. And can I say something? He will. Amen. Amen. He will. Study books of the Bible, not just random verses. Study books of the Bible. I'm going to show you a few things about that. Pick a book of the Bible and begin working through it. For a new Bible student, books such as John, Philippians, James, or 1 John are good places to begin. I tell every person that I talk to right after they get saved, man, go to the book of John and start reading the book of John. You say, why? Because you'll get to know who Jesus is. John don't start with genealogy. John starts before the world began. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John goes all the way back to before the world begins and introduces us to Jesus. Amen. Get in your Bible. When you study through a book, you do not have to wonder what you're going to read tomorrow. You simply pick up where you left off and you begin to understand each passage and the flow and context of the whole book. I'm in Joshua right now. That's the book that I'm reading through. Tomorrow morning, I might read 10 chapters of it, and I might read one chapter of it. The other morning, I read chapter 7, and that's as far as I got. You say, what'd you do? I went back and read it again. You say, what'd you do? I went back and read it again. And you know what? After I got done reading it numerous times and sitting on the front porch crying like a baby, I realized that whenever we sin, it affects more than just us. You go read Joshua chapter number 7 when they take Achan and stone him and his children because of the sin that he committed. It affects more than just us. So study the Bible. Number 11. Looky there. That's two ones. Number 11. Well, go back to 10. I missed it. Do not worry about covering a lot. You do not have to read five chapters to have studied your Bible. Sometimes five verses carefully studied or more profitable than five chapters quickly read. Now, I'm not at read as many as God tells you to read, but don't think for me to have read my Bible today and accomplished anything, I've got to read X amount. No, set a time. I'm going to study for X amount of time. Now, do it for more than 5 minutes, okay? Let's be legit about this thing. And say, God, this is your time. You help me as I read your word today, all right? Write down one thing you've learned. At the end of the day, write down something you've learned. Write it down. Go in the back of your Bible. Write it in the back of your Bible. Buy a journaling Bible. I'm sure somebody got a journaling Bible here tonight. I'm sure there's probably, yeah, let me see your Bible, Victoria. I'm just proud you brought one to church. A journaling Bible. It's got big places on the side. When you get done reading that day, write down in there. Journal what you wrote in there. You know what you'll do? You'll go back and look at it one day and go, man, I'm glad that I learned that day. And you know what else will happen? One day your kid will get it. One day your kid will get it. Can I say that again? One day your child will get it. And they'll go, you know what? All that mama told me or daddy told me, this is where they got it from. This right here it is. So write in your Bible. Write down one thing that you learned. Do not quit because you missed a day. Don't quit because you missed a day. Can I just say something? At the end of the day, we're all flesh. And there's going to be sometimes we miss a day. I never want to, but you know, there's sometimes that as a pastor, I get called in the middle of the night. Sometimes my morning starts at 2, 3. Sometimes my morning started the morning before. I'll never forget something Brother John said one time. Brother John Dorsey was preaching one time. I'll never forget something he said. He said, when you try to call the preacher at 9 o'clock in the morning and he don't answer his phone and you automatically think, well, I bet he's still in bed. He said, what you might not know is he's not even been to bed yet. And that's true. You never know. I ain't gonna call you every time I go do something or every time that somebody in the church calls me and I end up half the night out somewhere. That's just part of being a pastor. Now, if all you're interested in is just preaching three times a week and going to a church and getting a paycheck, you'll not do all that. But when you're interested in loving people and investing in people and pastoring, I'll never forget in July of 2006 in a Greyhound bus in South Dakota when Brother Robert called me and said that they put me in as pastor here at the church. I hung up the phone, I looked over at Dad, and I said, they voted me in. He said, well, good, go be a pastor, not just a preacher. He said, go be a pastor, not just a preacher. Can I say it again? We are, as a pastor, those long nights, those long days, I'm not complaining about it. I'm thankful that I'm able to do that. That's my heart. That's my desire. But sometimes we get caught up in everything that's going on. Man, we come in and we crash. If you miss a day, pick it up the next day. Pick it up the next day. If you're going to spend 20 minutes a day reading, and you miss a day, do 20 minutes in the morning the next day and 20 minutes in the morning the next day. Are you with me? That's good preaching, all right? Do not quit because you missed a day. A simple way to practice, James 1, 19 through 25, take a short passage, and I'm not going to go into all this, but take a short passage and work through the same process. Read it carefully, circle repeated words and ideas, identify commands, ask what it teaches about God and the Christian life, compare it with other scripture, and then write down one personal application. The goal is not simply to leave saying, I learned about the Bible, I learned about Bible study. The goal is to leave knowing I can sit down tomorrow, open my Bible, and begin studying it for myself. That's the goal of every bit of this. I want to say this to you. God did not give us His Word merely to own it, carry it to church, or to hear someone else teach it. He gave us His Word to read, to study, to believe, obey, and live. to believe, obey, and live. Now, I want to show you a couple simple things. And I've had this asked to me. Preacher, how do you get your messages? And I've been pastoring 20 years now. Let's think about something for just a second. I'm going to have to do some math because it's in my mind now, and I just had an ADD moment. I've been asked numerous times, if I don't quit talking while I'm putting this in, I was talking to Miss Tina on the phone today, and I said, just hold on a minute. I can't talk to you and type at the same time. Here we go. All right. So if you think there's 52 weeks in a year times 3, that's an average of 156 times a year times 20 equals, that's 3,120 messages. Are you with me? 3,120 messages. A lot every year that I preach. And that's just counting here. That's not counting. Matter of fact, I'm so excited. I'm not going to go into all the details because I don't know how much it's out. But I'm going to have awesome opportunity next week and then going into October, 5 different times in October with some young people from our community to share the gospel with them on numerous different occasions and to work with them. Man, I told Leslie yesterday, I just couldn't believe it. Whenever the phone call came and I was just blown away. If you want to know more about it, ask me after service. I'll tell you, but we're on live feed, so I'm not going to tell you all of it. I was just blown away. That's not counting meetings that I preach. Preacher, how do you get your messages? Can I tell you how I get my messages? Watch this. Number one, I pray. I pray. Number two, I read my Bible. 99% of the messages that I preach comes out of my daily Bible reading. I don't read my Bible to find a message to preach. I read my Bible because God told me to read my Bible. And through me reading my Bible, God speaks to my heart and gives me a thought, and I begin to develop it. Are you with me tonight? A lot of preachers, they just go straight to a sermon notebook years ago, we'd say this, Brother William, the golden nuggets. Years ago, they'd go to the golden nuggets or a printout, and or somebody says, well, you know, I got this thought, so I'm going to find me some scripture to go with this thought to preach. Why don't you find you some scripture, and from that scripture get a thought? Sunday school teacher, and I know we've got Courtleys, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm teaching through one right now in our class, and I love every bit of it. But I'm going to tell you, man, we got to get in the Bible. So let's talk about the Bible. Now, I've got 4 different study Bibles laying up here, okay? And you're more than welcome to come by after service and look at them. The first one that's laying here is called a Ryrie Study Bible. It's probably one of my go-to study Bibles. Not probably, it is one of my go-to study Bibles. And you say, why is it one of your go-to study Bibles? Well, number one, because I really like the notes in it, the way he outlines some of the chapters out. But number two, anybody besides Aaron in here got a Ryrie Study Bible with you? All right, 1, 2, 3. There's 3 in here. All right, so 3 or 4 people has one. So if I give you an outline to a book and it comes from a Ryrie Study Bible sometimes, not everybody goes, oh, well, right there it is. All right. Not a lot of people use this study Bible, but it is a tremendous study Bible. Man, I'm telling you, it's a tremendous study Bible. Now, here's another great study Bible. It's called a Rock of Ages Study Bible. Probably the reason this is not my favorite study Bible is simply because it does not have an easy cross-reference pattern in it. In the Ryrie, in the Schofield, and in the Life Application, there's a very easy cross-reference system in it. And I'm a huge cross-reference person. But the Rock of Ages Study Bible is a number one great study Bible. I promise you that. Probably a lot of you in here has these. We've sold numerous cases of them here at the church, and it's a great study Bible. Here's another one. How many has an old Schofield? Probably 85% of the people sitting here tonight has an old Schofield. Schofield is timeless, man. Probably my favorite part of a Schofield is the dates in it, the timeline in it. It actually, at the top of each page, the biggest portion of them, you'll note that if you've got a Schofield, at the top of it, you'll see the timeline. And here's another one of those things where don't just go to Google and ask Google. Amen. Open the Bible. Open your Bible and look at it, okay? You might find something interesting in there that you want to read, all right? Schofield, the cross references in Schofield are hard to beat. They're hard to beat, all right? They're probably the best when it comes to cross references. I wish that I could make my own study Bible, because I would take some of this, some of this, some of this, some of this, and put it all together, and it'd be unreal, man. I'm telling you, if I ever can hit it big with Cambridge, it's going to be unreal, man. It'd be a number one top seller, all right? But the cross references. Now, let me talk to you just a second about cross references. In your Bible, just open your Bible right there. Probably in your Bible, there is, just anywhere in it, there is a center section. And I'm going to show you that center section. Or if you've got a Bible with cross references, if you'll look anywhere through some of those words, you're going to find that there's going to be a little letter above some of the words. That little letter is a cross reference, okay? So it's going to take you, just like I'm in Isaiah 60, verse number 1, and the word risen in verse number 1 has an F. So at that F, what I would do is I would go to my center column, the way it is in a Schofield. I would go to my center column, and in my center column, there's going to be an F. And at that F, there's going to be a verse beside of it. And you know what that verse is going to do? That verse is going to tie in together with Isaiah 60, verse number 1. Scripture to Scripture. Comparing Scripture, it's the best thing in the world. All right? Scripture to Scripture. Now, if you have, I'm trying to think, if you've got a Cambridge, it could be in the middle. It could be at the bottom. If you've got a Scholar, anybody carrying a Scholar tonight? If you've got a Scholar, that's what I preach out of. I preach out of a Scholar. The reason I preach out of a Scholar, it's not necessarily my favorite Bible to preach out of, quote unquote, but it's become my favorite Bible to preach out of because it's easy to read. All right, the Scholar, to me, Scholar has the best print. It's the clearest. It's easy for me to read. I have found the exact print in Word. So whenever I do my outline has the exact same print that my Bible has. And you say, are you that bad? It's just easier for me to read, all right? I'm not looking at two different fonts. A Scholar, your cross references is going to be at the bottom of the page. If you're carrying a Canterbury, all right? Nelson, some will be in the center, some will be at the bottom, all right? Now, here is probably one of the most sold, besides the old Schofield, this is probably the most sold study Bible out today. It's called a Life Application Study Bible. And I want to tell you something about a Life Application Study Bible. If I had to get rid of all my Bibles and just keep one, it would be really close between the Ryrie and this Life Application Study Bible. If I had to get rid of all my Bibles and I could only keep one Bible, it'd be really close between these two. And probably, if you held a gun to my head and I had to make a decision right this second, I'm probably going to keep a Life Application Study Bible. And you say, why? Well, you don't have all night. Let me just show you a few things. A Life Application Study Bible, one thing that I love about it, when you go to the beginning of a Life Application Study Bible, the beginning of a book, it's going to give you an overview of that book. Now, Schofield is to a certain extent, but it does not go near as in depth as a Life Application Study Bible. And it's going to give you a big breakout of it. The Life Application Study Bible also has great cross references in it. One thing that it is hard, if you've read a Scofield a lot, or if you've read just about any other Bible a lot, one thing that's going to be hard for you to get used to in a Life Application Study Bible is its single column. It's not a double column Bible. Now, in just everyday reading, I like that better, because that's the way books are lined out. The biggest part of your books that you get are single column, okay? Now, it's got great cross-references in it. It's not only got great cross-references in it, it's got great study notes. Now, something else that I like about it, and let me flip right back here. I seen something I want to show you real quick, if I can see it again. As you begin to go through it, there is, all right, here's a great one. Miriam. Anybody know who Miriam was in the Bible? Anybody know what she done? Anybody remember a message that I preached? Can anybody tell me the title of the message that I preached on her? Why Miriam danced before the Lord. And then that Sunday, that was Sunday night, that Sunday morning, I preached on why David danced before the Lord. Anyway, Miriam, right here is everything about Miriam's life that we find in the Bible. It'll give you a quick breakdown of it, great accomplishments, failures. And I like to read those failures. You said, "Preacher, why do you like to read those failures?" Because it reminds me that people in Bible days was just like you and me. They was just like you and me. Amen. And it's great. David, man, it's got some great stuff. I wish I could find it right here. It's got some great stuff on David. There's one on Hannah. It's a great study Bible, okay? So that is, it's just great. I'll just put it at that. Now, let me say something to you. Those notes are not inspired.
That's right.
The notes of a Scofield's not inspired.
That's right.
The notes of a Ryrie study Bible, the only thing that's inspired by God is an infallible, and there's no corrections to be made to it, is the Word of God itself. Okay? But I do believe that the Lord has given us some great study Bibles that will help us understand it. Now, here's some different books that will help you. These old books. These simple books that will help you understand your Bible. Wilmington's Guide to the Bible. I don't know if anybody's ever used Wilmington's Guide to the Bible, but it's great. It's wonderful, and you can pick it up pretty reasonable. This is one, I started not to bring it. There's no need to even go get this, all right? But if you want to know something, if you want to get deep, if you want to study, that's a great one, all right? Here, let me show you this one. This is a cheap book. You can find this book just about anywhere. Through the Bible in 1 year. It's wonderful. It'll take you through each book of the Bible. It'll give you a breakdown of those books. It's broke down into 52 days, or not to 52 days, but to 52 weeks. This is a great tool right here. It really is. My favorite, though, if I had to keep one Bible, it would be this. If I had to keep one book, if I had to get rid of every book, I could never look on Blue Letter Bible again. I could never look in a concordance. I could only keep one book. Hands down, right there it is. Way of Life Encyclopedia. That is my go-to book. And it's an encyclopedia The kids today don't even understand what an encyclopedia is. I remember Brother Bryant having to go look things up in an encyclopedia in the library at the great BCA and write things down out of it. And you had to tell them that you quoted it out of there. If you didn't, you was going to get in trouble and fail the class. Somebody say amen. All right. It's got whatever you want to know. For the biggest part, whatever you want to know. Eternal security. Pages on eternal security. I'm just flipping through. The Episcopal Church, the elect, the ecumenical movement, dynamic equivalence. You say, what's that? It goes to deal with our Bible today. Direction, a deacon. There's pages on a deacon. Daniel. It's there. And alcohol, it's there. Roman Catholics, it's there. The inspiration, the King James Bible, it's there. David Cloud is the one that wrote it. He is a strong, independent, fundamental guy. And I'm telling you, if you don't have that book, I recommend you to buy the book. It was Haley, went to Jonesville Sunday and found one for $7. $7 in a thrift store in Jonesville. And let me say this to you. Don't buy it on Amazon. It's a whole lot higher. Go to Way of Life. Just look up Way of Life Encyclopedia. They have their own website, okay? He's got a lot of books on it. But this is a great book. I promise you. I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot. Matter of fact, the other day, whenever I'd done the one on eternal security, if you'd have came into my office, you would have found this book opened up, laying on my desk with my Ryrie Study Bible as I was studying for eternal security, okay? So, it's wonderful. I'll give you one online tool. That's a great tool. I'll give you one that I recommend. I can tell you a lot, but I'll give you one that I really recommend. And it's called Blue Letter Bible. Probably a lot of you already use Blue Letter Bible. If you don't, it's great. It really is. There's probably not a service that goes by a message that I prepare. Maybe 1 in 100 that I don't go to Blue Letter Bible on. I use it every day of my life practically. And it's Blue Letter Bible. I think it's blueletterbible.org or blueletterbible.com. You can get the app, the Blue Letter Bible app. And it's tremendous. It's tremendous. Now, don't get, and I'm going to say this and I'm going to be done. Don't get overwhelmed if you go on Blue Letter Bible with Hebrew and Greek meanings. Okay? And I want to say something to you tonight, and some people disagree with me right here, but that's okay. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to split hairs with you. I'm just going to tell you me, okay? God gave me a Bible in English. He done that for a reason. When I look up words, yes, I will revert to Blue Letter Bible sometimes and look at the Hebrew or the Greek meaning of it. I look at it a lot of times more so, not just to look at the Hebrew or Greek meaning, to look at the part that it is in speech, the way that it'll break it all down. I don't know if y'all, this is probably going to come as a shock to y'all, but I struggled in English a little bit. So I go to that and let it break the sentence down, let it break the verse down and see what part of speech it's in. And I'm going to tell you something, that changes a lot of things. It really does. And then when I see that, here's what I do. The majority of the definitions that I give you from a word, if I'm preaching, is going to come from an 1828 Webster's Dictionary. And that's just my go-to dictionary. You say, why an 1828? If you ever read one, you'll see why. It's completely different. It is completely different. It'll give you scripture reference in it. It is so amazing. I love it. And here's the great thing about it. I don't know about you lost people that's got an Android, but it for you saved people that's got an Apple, you can get it for free. Go to the Apple Store, download the 1828 Webster's Dictionary. Right there it is. Go online. It's free online. All you got to do is look up 1828 Webster's Dictionary online, and it's free online. That's a great tool. When you read a word and you go, man, I wonder what that means, go to 1828 Webster's Dictionary. That's my recommendation to you. Go to that and look at it in that, okay? And your Bible, listen to what I'm fixing to say. Your Bible will change your life. Amen. But your life will never change without your Bible. Your Bible will change your life, but your life will never change without your Bible. It'll change in a different direction than the direction we're trying to go. I'm going to say this and I'm going to be done. I promise you I'm going to be done after this. Don't read too much into Scripture. Just preach what you mean by that. Take it at face value. Some people get so caught up in, I've got to find something that nobody else has ever seen and bring it out. Just let me give you some Bible. There's nothing new under the sun. Not one thing new under the sun. And I remember when I first started preaching, Brother Josh, I had to have the deepest thing. I had to awe the audience, man. They had to be wowed with what I brought out. And they was. They was wowed at my stupidity. Just read the Bible, man. Now, matter of fact, the Bible even talks about the simplicity of the gospel. We make things so hard sometimes. You know what Jesus done? Jesus was a simple preacher. Jesus took, when you study the preaching of Christ, Brother Josh, he just took a simple illustration and made a heavenly meaning out of it. That's what a parable is. You look at the parables that he gave. He took a simple, everyday application and made it spiritual. Made a spiritual application out of it. So when you read the Bible, God, help me to understand this. God, help me to apply this. God, help this book change me. Help it change me. Amen.